Black Louis Armstrong. Break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Jez.
G'day, Solution, how are you?
Good, brother, how are you?
I'm walking on air.
What, after the win?
Yeah, yeah.
It was good to get 4 points. With us is Windsock 2000.
G'day, Solution, how are you going?
I'm good, mate. I'm good, thank you. And with us is Fiona.
Across to me as I take a big gulp of my rosé, thank you. Hi.
Well, I'm in the red. I did call this International Year of the Wine, so my resolution is to do every single podcast with wine in hand. But we won. I'll start. It wasn't pretty, I don't think. I think there was some good, there was some bad, there was some ugly. But I'd probably say, if I had to sum it up in 30 seconds, I'd say it was our little bit of class that got us over the line in the end. From some of our stars like Stringer and Langford and 2 metre, but yeah, what do you guys reckon?
Ladies first, come on.
I think when you have a quartet, I think you need to direct because we're all just waiting for you to steer the ship, Solution.
This ship is sunk long ago. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no steering.
It's shipwrecked. All right, fine. Well, yeah, you think it's the class. I thought it was we had a bit more of the mental toughness in the end. I think the conditions played a big, big part, and I think we just, our midfield collective, just grinded it out more than what the Hawks could hang in there. So pick one for a bit of maturity.
Maturity? Tick. What about tracking back against an opposition running into our forward line? Does that get a tick or a cross?
What do you think?
A cross! Like, I've been Brad Scott all the way. I'm on this train. I'm going to ride it till it runs out of steam. But I am worried that we saw some of the same things that we saw during the shit truck era, we saw during the Woosha era.
Okay, but we can't fix everything in one full preseason. Like, I saw some improvements from last year personally. The mental toughness was one because we sank like a bag of potatoes the second half of last year. We had absolutely no mental resilience. And I know it's round one, so whatever, but we can't fix everything. And upon replay watching, I think the turnovers and where we got them was what absolutely sunk us. And that is pleasing because that can be tidied up.
Can it?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Ooh. All right. Well, that's optimistic. Good. Windsock 2000, talk to me.
Yeah, I think it is a bit scary. Like I think both sides played a bit of like Russian roulette kind of game style. Like they pushed really, their halfbacks pushed really high up the field. And yeah, when you get turned over, you usually get torched the other way, which was kind of what was happening. Yeah, but I was pretty happy with the game, even though it was probably a bit closer than what we hoped, especially in the last quarter as they were kind of nipping at our heels. But it was pretty pleasing to see how we just really locked down the middle in the last like 15 minutes. I mean, we had them the whole game in the middle, which is good because they're a pretty good centre bounce team. And we got quite a few scores from stoppages in the last quarter and was able to kick away. So it was a pretty good performance really on a bloody hot day. I wouldn't want to be playing footy out on the G in that kind of weather.
I know Jez is the stats man, but we outscored them in their number one positive trait, which is the centre clearances and their clearances in general and scoring from clearances. So we outnumbered them in that, which that, do you know what, heap of work would have gone into that. So that shows that you're planning for your opposition and taking away their strength. Now, you're not gonna tick every single box, because sometimes when you do that, some other things get left behind. But I think we did that really well, and we identified where we needed to shut them down. Not only that, Sicily has never had such little impact on a game in recent history. In 2023, I watch a lot of footy, as you know, and I can't remember him having such little impact as he did. So we planned for that as well.
Yeah, my apologies to Guelph, he is in the mail. Question boy with you.
Found by everyone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And there's some cookies in there for me.
Definitely a performance out of the box. Ooh. Jez, what's your initial thoughts?
Look, I'm very simple. I'm very easily pleased. And for me, being at the footy for a start was awesome. But for me, it was that spine-tingling Jade Gresham goal was worth the day for me, because it got me out of my seat, and I heard the roar of the crowd, and that was enough for me. Like, that really is my memory from the day. And
just on that, I really struggled to compute a little 5 foot, not much guy wearing number 11 kicking it for 55 meters.
Yeah. It was bizarre twilight zone.
Yeah, that's right. What it reminded me of, Jez, is Calthorpe in the 93 grand final.
Yeah, the keg on legs.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think he's quite a keg, number 11. He's a bit more like a schooner, but or maybe a pot is probably a better description.
Just point of order, wasn't Kelly number 14?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gersman's kick on the run.
No, Gresham.
Gresham. Gersman didn't kick
a goal. Gersman didn't kick a goal. How much wine have you had?
Oh, hang on. Who wears number 11 freshman?
Gresham.
Oh, okay,
Gersman is 28.
Up. Well, that ruins it.
I actually was on the tram coming home, and there was someone saying, there was this idiot sitting behind me who was calling Gresham Dersma and Dersma Gresham all day.
I even did songs about him too. No, he kicked the goal. He kicked the goal. He wears number 11, and he's a little midget wrestler.
Yeah, Gresham.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's Gresham.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting them mixed up. Shut up, Fiona. No one asked you.
All right.
All right. Now, there were some performances that seemed to have some very differing kind of viewpoints. For example, Andrew McGrath. He was named in the best on the AFL website.
Multiple outlets had him as the best. I just want to point that out.
Oh, no doubt.
Except for half this podcast.
The ones that purely look at the stats, that's who named him the best.
Well, to be fair, stats don't really lie, and the one that I know you guys, or you two, are going to pinpoint is
they do lie.
Well, the ones that you guys are going to point at is his efficiency, and he was up at 83%, so, or something like that. So I don't know.
I don't think it is his efficiency, because that can be a misleading stat as well. I think it's decision making. I think it's pure decision making. Like, I never doubt his effort.
Nope.
And passion for the game and will to win. But sometimes, well, a lot of the times he just makes really poor decisions. Like calling for the ball when you've just come on the wing, and then going for a handball and you've literally got half a meter of space to run through, and then you give it to third game Asadis, who's got a bloke right behind him to get torched on the handball. Like, why do you call for that hand pass? Literally nothing. I just don't understand it. He's trying to get cheapies out the back, and I don't like it. That's not fair.
I don't think that's fair to put on his. I'll give you granted. Sometimes his decision making is questionable, but you would never blame him asking for a cheapie. He doesn't shirk hard work.
That's a cheap possession, man.
Yeah, but I think in his head he truly thinks that that's he's trying to help. I just don't think he's. Yeah, but I don't think a cheapie is someone who's just looking for an extra stat on the score sheet. I don't think that's him. What I will say is his ability to evade traffic and space. There is no one in the team who can do that like him, aside from Hind, and he's not selected. So without his burst running and evading opponents and trying to create some kind of run and energy out of the back line, we are very one-dimensional back there.
I think, unfortunately, McGrath suffers a little. It's a bit like a goalkeeper. Goalkeeper can be great all game, but if he makes one error, that's all people talk about.
Yeah.
McGrath, I don't agree that he's trying to, he's being selfish or trying to rack up stats or stat pad. I think he's been told to take the game on. But he's a bit like Hind sometimes. His sat nav doesn't work. Like he's trying to go down the freeway and ends up in a court, in a cul-de-sac, and he's surrounded and he coughs it up. And those errors just, I think they often lead to goals because of where he is in the field. And it just, yeah, it's really bad for a player of his experience.
Back me up.
I thought he was good. I think his intent can't be doubted. I think whoever said that he's been told to take the game on, I think he's right. I think he sees it as his main role to just be a real fire starter and to get it and run. He did a couple of bad kicks on the weekend, but I'm a McGrath fan. I'm glad we've got him, and I think he should be our next captain. I'm a big fan of the guy. But there was a little bit of the sort of Nick Hind, Benny Hill music solution, don't you think, a couple of times?
Nah, mate, the Benny Hill award goes to one other player. He was just a supporting guy in Benny Hill. The actual Benny Hill was also in the back line, but we'll get to him, I'm sure. I mean, the only thing is Winsock 2000, he did have 33 posies, 19 kicks. And what did you say his efficiency was, Fiona? 85%.
I thought it was in the 80s. I thought I saw something.
Yeah, like some of those clangers just... It'd be great if he got those out of his game.
The handball, like the forced handball to people like with flat feet, like sometimes you just can't force it. Like sometimes you have to just go long down the line and you can't do like the perfect handball chain, you know. I just feel like it's forced on occasion. And there's another player. He wasn't the only player on the back line trying to force things that weren't there. That probably does reflect in his stat line.
Well, and a lot of the time, he's under pressure for a lot of his possessions, don't forget. Because he's evading traffic and he's moving. He's trying to create some run. And so a lot of the time, he's running into or around opposition.
Or moving into traffic.
Definitely runs into opposition.
Yeah, but that's the point. Sometimes you've got to do that, create chaos.
Chaos is a word.
And then back your midfielders to win it back. Sometimes that is the game plan. I'm sure of it.
And actually, Winsock 2000, you make a good point. When he makes that handball to a guy in a worse position, that's 100% efficiency because the handball is
great. Yeah.
But it's the knock-on effect. I'll tell you another guy who had 80% efficiency, and this is another guy who polarised. Opinion. 80% efficiency, I think we agree that's good. It was a smattering of better, of worse. There was some better. Had 22 possessions playing half back. Four marks. Redmond. How do we judge his game?
So it was an ugly game.
Awful.
You know, with his hair, his haircut? He's a fucking ugly man.
All right, let's not go below the belt. I mean, none of us are oil paintings here, no offense, but
I'm ugly. I can say that.
Let's not start shaming people for their looks. Don't you think this podcast has gotten low and is low enough below the belt?
I'm sorry, between him and Cox.
It is a little bit like watching American History X play footy.
That's right.
I refuse to partake in this.
I thought it was below the belt. You
both need to go to confession and go jump in holy water, because this is just this is Mean Girls. If I wanted to watch Mean Girls, I stream it on Netflix. Okay.
Okay. I just don't think the short hair suits them. That's all I'm saying.
Leave it to the footy.
All right. Well, speaking of ugly, I thought he was ugly. His football was ugly. Jez.
Yeah,
I couldn't spin on this one.
No, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but he had a bad game. He seemed, I don't know, there were a couple of them that I commented seemed a little bit sort of drunk or concussed, and I think he was one of them. I mean, obviously they weren't drunk or concussed, but they just seemed, to be honest, just slightly off the pace. He seemed a little lazy. His defending wasn't great.
That's the worst part of his performance. He seemed disinterested in doing the hard work. The mids were working their fucking butts off, aside from the third quarter. But he seemed – I was watching him off the ball a few times. And if you compare him to what Callie does to try and just make a little bit of space for the person getting the ball – like, it was embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed if I were him, and I hope they show some tape of the, what's it called, the camera that's above watching their movements.
The Flying Fox.
The Flying Fox, yeah. I hope they show him that during the week. Cause
just without the close-ups on his head. I'm only joking.
I think it's also, he and Redmond are all, and Redmond and Martin is the other one, of course. Like, they're a little bit of victim of the role that they're playing as well, because they're so offensively minded and they do so much for us offensively that occasionally they get it themselves into positions where they just cannot defend, and they get, you know, tired after sprinting and all this kind of thing. So it's not an easy position to play. But
we've seen with Red Dog when Ridley's been out that he has, they switch him to be a slightly more accountable role, not just a freewheeling runner, and it doesn't suit him as well. He either has to sort of sort it out and work it out, or they need to sort of use someone else in that role. I thought Cox was actually pretty good when he went back after Rest went down. I thought Cox was better than Mace as a pure defender.
Yeah, agree.
And that's a positive, surely, if you can carve his little role there. The best bits that Cox did were taking some marks under pressure and using his height and a couple of times.
And that awesome spoil late in the game where he...
Two-handed spoil.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bit, like they said on the forecast, like it was just luck. But I think he... he got cooked by the crowd a lot. He gets a bit of hate from the crowd. You're right, Solution. Yeah, he does. They were really digging into him, which wasn't enjoyable, I must admit. He's missed a lot of footy. Let's not forget. I thought he was admirable. I thought he showed Redmond up. Like, yeah, definitely. I would be giving him a tick, and I could only foresee him getting better with some consistency and continuity.
So speaking of ticks, Big Ben. First game for the club. I thought he was terrific. And seeing those big marks.
Massive. Just,
yeah. Keep going, Jess. Expand.
He took his marks. He took, I don't know, three or four or five marks. But he also, showed me five. And some of them were genuine contested marks. But the thing is, even when he didn't mark the ball, he wasn't outmarked. I mean, Mitch Lewis did sweet if a... And there were I actually was like quite pleasantly surprised to see long balls going into the opposition forward line, and just see Mackay just strength, just his strength, and just negating the mark and spoiling the ball. And he just seems so big and strong and commanding. And it's a long time since we've had anything like that down there. And I loved it. I thought, like, he was in my top handful of players, even though he didn't trouble the stat sheet a lot. So much of what he did wasn't stats.
Mm. And, like, Lewis is not...
he's not a chump.
You don't sleep on him, exactly. No. You don't sleep on him as a forward. He'd be in the, you know, he's not a nobody, put it that way. So he's... Mm. I think he had a bit of an underdone preseason, but he's not a nobody. And in the end, he gave up. He was shirking. He wasn't even bothering to go for contests by the end. Couldn't even be bothered because Ben had just lowered his colours all day. So aside from one really easy kick that he missed that I got a bit grumpy at him for, Ben, that is, he was brilliant. And I just could not wipe the smile off my face watching his interview after the game. He was so happy. He was like a kid at Christmas. On the Essendon app, like a kid who couldn't believe his luck that he's at a club. Has he ever had a round one win? I was going to ask that on Twitter, but then I thought some North Melbourne troll's going to come for me and I just didn't want to spoil my mood.
The North Melbourne troll's really
need to get me right. I wonder if he's ever had a round one win. So whoever's listening, can somebody tweet me and tell me? I'm too preoccupied to do the investigation myself. But of his 8 wins at North Melbourne, can you just tell me if it was ever a round one?
Statistically unlikely.
I think they worked out after the game that there were 20,000 more people at that game than any of his previous games.
Unbelievable, crazy.
It was his previous biggest game was the last one versus Richmond, where Cochin and Rewalt were retiring.
Yeah, and of the 50,000, 1,000 were Kangaroos. Let's be there.
All right, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to mix things up a little bit. Just try something different. The most negative person on this podcast, apart from me, is Winsock 2000. So I'm going to get you to do the Herd. And Captain Positive, Jez, you can do the Henneman.
Ooh.
So give us some best players. And take your time, meander.
Yeah.
It's the easiest Herd Henneman. That I think we'll get all year. So, guys.
But you've got to come up with nominations. You can't just...
So, I think McKay or Mackay. How do you say it? Is it McKay or Mackay?
Mackay.
Mackay? So, I went to a kid at school and they were Mackay, same spelling. So, it's very confusing for me.
Didn't Carlton have that? What was that winger? Wasn't he Mackay? The blonde guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Mackay, I'd have him up there in the best. I think 2 meter Peter was very good. Back to his long bombs, goals from outside 50, love it. Stringer was awesome. I thought that was one of his best games he's had in quite a while. It was great to see him take really clever marks. His body work was second to none.
You all must have forgot. Because when he's fit,
I thought his leadership was really good too, to be honest. He was down there directing, like encouraging. Yeah.
Look, this very is mature. The thing.
Very mature performance from him.
I'm sure if we got the academic transcripts of Andy McGrath, school captain, Brighton Grammar, and compared that to, I don't know where, Stringer went to school. I don't know if technical schools still exist anymore, but he would have been a tech school guy as a kid. McGrath, academically smart. Jake, maybe not. But when it comes to footy smarts, they're the complete opposite. Jake is one of the smartest players you'll ever see. The way he uses his body, as you said, the way he manoeuvres. Yeah, it's out of control, and it is leadership too. It's a really, really good point. And I never thought we'd ever say Jake Stringer was.
You'd never put leadership and Jake Stringer in the same conversation ever. But I thought yesterday he was with Gresham, with Jones, with even 2 meter Peter, who's still kind of, you know, young. I thought he showed real leadership, so that was positive. Yeah,
he seems like he's in a really good place.
Which they've said, you know, and you can tell. Yeah. I think sometimes you hear them talk that he's got his head on straight, he's had a good preseason, but you can something just feels different, and it's round one. Yes, we know, don't troll us, but yeah. Long may it continue.
Exactly, yeah. It's when you're playing forward, like, or when you're playing any professional sport, any position on the ground, it's all about confidence, really. Like, all of them are great athletes. You know, a lot of them are super skillful. He's one of the most skilled out there, but it's a mental game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought Guelphy had a pretty awesome game, especially as he was kind of coming under a bit of heat coming out of pre-season and doing some pretty strange things in the practice match. He completely nullified Sicily, and he got two goals, and they're actually pretty decent marks as well. One especially in the second half was a pretty ripping mark in the middle off Stringer, I think it was. And I think he fed Stringer for a couple of these goals as well. So he had the good for a small forward.
He had the most goal assists, I think, in the team.
Okay, well there you go.
But I think at one point we were kicking to him long, like against two opponents. It's like, come on, he's not doing that well. It's like, calm down.
But he was bringing it to ground. I don't think he got outmarked. So that's all. And same with 2 meter Peter. Yes, it was his long 50 meter kicks. But for me, it was his one percenters, his little taps, his little backhanders, his bringing it to ground. He got outmarked by Frost once, and tap on the wrist for that. But outside of that, it was all the other work that I love from him. Can I give a nomination, please, just for the herd?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to highlight Setterfield. I think he had an absolutely brilliant game. A culmination of pressure, of, you know, protecting, you know, the younger mids when Perkins went through there and Calders and Martin. I think he butchered the ball a little bit, but yeah. I think he had a really, really good game. So I'm just, hoping he stays fit and healthy.
Yeah, I think it was pretty... You know, he was one of the guys flying the flag in the midfield, being super physical. Tackling was really good.
Yeah, even when like Durham went missing for a bit in the middle of the game, I thought he really stepped up.
Yeah. Durham played a good game as well, actually. It's quite a few players that played pretty well.
Can I add some numbers to your Setterfield discussion?
Yeah.
I'm not Mr. Stats, but I do have numbers. I do bring some numbers to the table.
Yeah, I love your numbers, Jez. Hit me.
I wasn't quite listening before. I'm not sure if Winsog 2000 has actually mentioned the player who I think he's going to give it to, but I'm going to assume he's going to give it.
Did you just say you weren't listening?
Yeah. What? Well, hang on.
I haven't mentioned the Hanneman yet.
We can't just skip over the. You said you're not listening. Why are we here?
I was just doing something else for a minute, but here's some numbers.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Oh, that's sorry, fine, keep going.
But possessions, Archie 24, Setters 24. Marks, Archie 4, Setters 6. Disposal efficiency, Archie 58, Setters 70. Contested possessions, Archie 9, Setters 11. Clangers, Archie 5, Setters 1. Whoa. Inside 50s, inside 50s, Archie 5. Setters 7. Clearances, Archie 8. Setters 7. He actually distinguished himself with his score involvements, 9 to Setters 5 and goals 2 to 0. But at the ground, I was really struck by Setters' in and under physical work. And I didn't actually see a lot of those stats. So that didn't, by those numbers, I didn't quite appreciate it until
it's
I looked
at it. A bit unobtrusive on the ground.
Very.
Because a lot of his work is selfless as well, and that's his role to be, you know, the tough protector in there. So I think a lot of it goes unnoticed. I wouldn't have picked those stats either. That's a brilliant day's work. Brilliant.
Those numbers are awesome. Yeah,
just on those two, so Archie and Setterfield had 20 tackles between them. I reckon there's days when Essendon have barely had 20 tackles between the whole fucking team.
Yeah.
And that I said that the Gresham goal is what got the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. But the Setterfield tackle on the other side, the far side, or he chased down Warple.
Yeah.
We had no right to get him, but he just dug in and got him. That was also awesome.
Both of Calder's tackles did that for me too. He had two incredible rundown tackles. Incredible.
Just on Archie Winsock 2000, do you want to talk about his handballing?
I do. Well, firstly, we'll say Hurd goes to Archie this week. I thought he was brilliant. As you know, basically based off everything that Jez was mentioning, but I think that's the first game we've ever seen him play that much midfield, right? So I don't think he spent a minute in any other position. He was full-time mid. I think it suited him really well. He's super physical, as we know. I think that's maybe what made his game so great, that he was just in and around the action. He didn't have an opportunity to go missing. He had to be on the whole time, and he was. He really stood up while, you know, the likes of Parrish and Shiel are out. So yeah, that was probably the best game I've seen him play in a very long time, for sure. 12 tackles is incredible from our midfield. I don't think we've seen that in a very, very long time, probably since Smith or something in 20 whatever, when he joined us for that one good year. But my only criticism of Archie is he has to clean up the handball. His handballing is one of the worst I've seen at AFL level. Like it seems
is it the placement or to who?
It dribbles off his hand.
The technique,
There's no power behind it at all. And it's unusual because he's a very powerful young man with huge, you know, huge shoulders. He can shrug tackles. He can clearly tackle other players. There's no reason why he cannot punch his hand through the ball and deliver it to someone's chest rather than their feet.
Yeah, but he grew up in New Zealand. He missed Oz kick. He wasn't taught how to place the ball on the hand and, you know.
It's not too late.
Clasp the hand in the, what do? You clasp the fist in the resting hand. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that goes really well on a podcast.
Trying to get the sound, you know. Yeah. Got to get that sound, the clap of the hand coming together with the ball.
I personally think it's still him just getting used to the midfield, because those missed handballs were in the heat of the clearance. And there were times he was just a little bit sloppy, I think. But I think he will get better.
He's not so strong. Not all of them are in that much heat, to be honest. Like,
okay. Sorry, Archie, I tried. But you won the Hurd.
So you still won the Hurd. So, I mean, that's a pretty good effort, isn't it?
Can I just pause for a moment? So well done to Archie Wins, possibly his first Hurd ever,
could be.
I suspect.
And I think it's come a week after someone nominated him for Henneman of the Year, didn't they?
Yeah, who was that?
I don't remember.
Yeah, how convenient.
There's still a lot of time left in the season.
We are. So we're talking about clearances. We're talking about tackles. Suddenly, we've been crying out for bigger bodies in there. Is this part of the reason that we're not running necessarily that well the other way? Have we quite got the balance between now we're a bit bigger bodied and stronger, can extract the ball a bit, but maybe we need some faster, nimbler, quicker guys as well? No, Jez is shaking his head.
No, I don't think it is. It's above the head. It's running back.
Mindset. Yeah. It's not the other way. It's just without the ball.
Yeah, it's without the ball running. And they showed some on the I didn't see this at the ground. I didn't notice at the ground, but they showed it on the replay, some of that flying fox footage of some of our midfield just really getting dropped off in that transition running. But and that's not a speed thing. It's just a absolute sort of gut run.
Desire.
Yeah.
It's a non-negotiable. And the concerning part of that flying fox vision, for me, the most concerning part, is that Merritt was one of the culprits. I think they pointed out him, Martin, Caldwell, and somebody else. But Merritt being one of those culprits, really, and perhaps it was he was heat stroked. I don't know. It was a hot day. Perhaps it's just the first game. I don't know. But for me, for him to be one of the ones not leading that without the ball movement and just gut running, concerning for me.
So very unusual for him, though.
True. Yeah. So he's got a lot of, currency in the bank. So we'll give him a pass for that. But that you could easily tell the third quarter they had a shocking performance, and then you could tell that Ben Jacobs and Gia gave him a roast at three quarter time easily, because the midfielder what won it, as I said, aside from Ben McKay and maybe King Kelly, the midfield was what won it in the fourth quarter, because you could tell they got a bake. It wasn't the backs who helped them. Well, they did, but I think it was the midfield that really had a mature fourth quarter to win it in the end, and some good goal kicking. Which, how did we get? How did we kick 17-5? Like, who are we?
Yeah, and let's not forget, Hawthorn really had so many chances, particularly in that second quarter. So they let us off the hook a little bit.
Well, bad kicking is bad football. We could have easily missed our shots too, but we didn't.
We could easily have been behind by five goals at half time.
Yeah. All right, well done. So the Henneman.
Yes.
I've got to give nominations before you, of course, Jez, before you.
Yep. This is not a Henneman nomination, but just a tail end of the herd discussion. I loved Goldie's game, by the way.
He just likes to stay positive, doesn't he? He doesn't want to do the Hennemans.
No, I was just, it was a setup and you've interrupted me. I was going to say, isn't he a handy acquisition?
Yes, no. I should have shut my mouth. Yeah. You're happy to say you were wrong?
No, he was much better than I thought he was going to be. Yeah, he was really good.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. I mean, Ned Reeves is not awesome. He's very big, but he's not awesome. But I thought Goldie just gave him nothing. Although I think he was just, even when Goldie looked out positioned and looked in the wrong spot or in the sort of unbalanced, he just did everything he could to physically fight and make life hard for Reeves, and ran all day and sold that little bit of candy, which is fantastic.
What?
Yeah. absolutely mopped the floor with him.
He did. And he's Randall so happy. Day. He's just happy in life. He's talking about a kid at Christmas. He's just happy. He's so happy within himself and where he is, and grateful to be where he is. And I think he really wants the best, and he really wants to leave his legacy, at Essendon.
Well, I didn't see him slowing down either through the game.
I barely noticed 2 metre Peter rucking that much. I actually question how much time he spent on the ground, because I barely noticed any non-ruck work that he did. So fit is a fiddle. And look, it's round one. He won't be able to keep up that pace all year, but absolutely brilliant. Love him. And I knew it. I knew he'd be like that. Anyway, over to you, Jez.
Yep, Henneman, we've already spoken about Redmond. I actually think he's in the conversation. He's not going to get it, but I think he's in the conversation. I want to say it's the worst game I've seen Nick Martin play for the club. Anyone disagree with that, just as a sort of starter?
One of the worst games I've seen anyone play.
I don't care.
An absolute shocker.
And I can't work it out, because we all love him, and I picked him last week for Herd of the Year. And I just reckon, what on earth was his first quarter was absolutely horrible. And he got a little bit better, but I've never seen him just butcher the ball like he did. And just be sort of, he just sort of was he was disinterested. He wasn't competing and contesting. And he just had an off day. I don't know. He got out of the wrong side of bed or something. It just was not the Nick Martin we know and love.
I think he was, like, totally lost defensively, and that kind of triggered the rest of his game, where maybe he put too much pressure on himself to hit some of those kicks. He went corridor a fair bit and unfortunately did not pay off a fair bit, which is unlike him because he's such an elite user. So yeah, maybe I think he's struggling with the role. I think that's
it was like
that's what it is.
But against Geelong, he was brilliant. He was the best on in that role.
In that defensive role, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know none of you watched it, but I did watch it very closely and some of the replay. Don't judge me. And he was brilliant. He was fantastic.
What's the replay count up to now, by the way, Fiona?
I'm not telling.
Okay. with Marta, it was like every time the ball got in his hands, it was like the ball was flat or something. It was like flop off his foot or just sort of go sideways off his hand. And anyway, he's in the conversation, but I am sorry, Fiona. Harry Jones wins this by the length of the Flemington straight for me. It was really? Hopeless. Yeah. Yeah.
I would disagree, and I hate to start being a Harry championer, but I think he was not that bad at all. There were two contests where he got booed because he was very soft, and I'll give you that. But I think his efforts were pretty okay in the forward line. He went missing. That's all I'll give.
Also, he had four possessions, right? I wish Nick Martin only had four possessions. It would have been far less damaging to Essendon if he'd only had four possessions. Every single possession was a net negative. So on that count alone, for me, I was about to say earlier, one more week of this from Nick Martin, I'm calling the free Nick Martin campaign. We need to free him from the shackles of defence.
Or find him.
Where's he gone? Who is this imposter?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, look, what made you think he was so bad, Harry?
He did nothing.
Harry was shit. Let's get it straight.
when he had opportunities to mark, he didn't. Did he have a shot on goal? I don't think he had a shot.
No, he didn't. But he was under pressure. How am I defending Harry Jones? Have I come full circle and I've ended up being the one who's defending the kid? I don't know. I don't think he was as bad as what you're...
And also,
I actually felt a little bit sorry for him. Like, at the end of the game, I think it was Zetterfield that got it out of the centre. Was it centre bounce or something? And he... ran into, like, he was running towards the goals, Harry Jones. He got plenty of distance on his man, so he must have done some body work. And Zetterfield just absolutely torched him. He could have literally put in a 5-metre radius. Harry Jones would have marked it and had a certain goal. And he just absolutely torched him. So I felt a bit sorry for him at that point.
So that's my point. I think
he does. Yeah.
I think his effort was there. Like, if you last quarter in his work in the forward line, he was tackling and he was pretty close to his defender. Look, I don't want to be the defender to come full circle, but I don't think he was near our worst. Jez, sorry, but it's your award, so you do you, boo.
He got the third or fourth best defender, and I just thought he had opportunities and he just didn't. He just muffed every one of them. Anyway.
Okay. All I'll say is that's one of the worst games of football I've seen from anybody.
Who?
From Nick Martin.
You still got on Martin?
Because again,
he's got it away with absolute murder.
The length of the straight, I think this is the Melbourne Cup. You're just, this is the first lap.
They've just come past the first time.
Yeah, and Harry was ahead, but...
Do we concede that he's got currency in the bank, or does that not spare him?
He's got immense currency in the bank. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yep.
He might have currency in the bank, but
it was just. I think the whole
went crypto.
Imposter. There was an imposter. It just wasn't. It wasn't him.
It wasn't Nick Martin.
You know, he went Dogecoin. Forget the currency.
Has he got a Dogecoin, Greg? Like, has he got a twin? I got to ask Greg because anyway.
Yeah. I thought it was terrible from the very first kick out.
Oh my God.
Remember the kick out that was rubbed?
That went underground.
Yeah, he was just lucky.
It went into a sprinkler hole.
Yeah, he was just lucky that it didn't result in a turnover, and it just went on and on and on. Yeah.
He had pretty clean laces coming off the ground on Saturday, unfortunately.
Yeah, they kept hitting the side of the boot for sure. But we still, are you? You sticking? You resolved? to...
He's still going. Who else?
Go Harrison.
I have gone Harrison, yeah. No, I've heard all your submissions, but Harrison, but so he gets it, but...
Closing arguments.
Yeah, this is... Can I mention, in the context of the Henneman, this is unfair to mention Zach Reed, but he only played half the game, but how bloody... How are we going to get this guy on the park? I mean, my God.
Well, I was comforted a little bit by Brad Scott saying...
Awareness.
You know, that it wasn't a tear. Yeah, what are we calling it? Awareness, hamstring awareness.
Yeah. So, I mean, when he came off, he sat on the bench and was just like relaxing before half time. So they didn't even assess him immediately.
Did they even have it iced? I didn't even see him with ice.
I didn't see any ice. My hope is that it was really, really precautionary and we see him in the next couple of weeks.
But say it is precautionary, do you arrest him just in case for the week?
I think you'd go with the scan.
You don't send him to Sydney. That's a slaughterhouse up there anyway.
true.
And they don't have a big forward line anyway, so Ben McKay should be able to handle their biggest boy.
I think Zach will be fine. I think he's hamstring. It's a bit like an amputee who still gets an itchy hand, even though he lost his hand in a horrific motorcycle accident.
You reckon it's just hyperconscious?
Yeah, I just think he can feel the twinge, but I don't think it's been...
Oh, poor, see, that makes me feel... That breaks my heart. Like, the poor kid, like, just... I said to the university, we had a deal. Like, you're supposed to protect this kid. He's been through enough. And he just wants to play some footy, and he's got a gift. He's got a gift. So just... Focus on someone else, for fuck's sake. Not from Essendon. From Sydney.
But before we move on, so there's been a bit of debate in this podcast, can we just be real for a second? It wasn't a great performance. Like, if we play like that next week, we'll get to the predictions, but there's areas that we need to improve. Because if we don't, I think we're going to struggle. Is that fair, or does anyone disagree?
We're fifth or sixth, and we've only played one game. There's teams who've played two games that are below us in the ladder. We are on route.
We are en route
to top four. We are a great step.
Is anyone disagreeing with that?
Without the ball. If we be as lackluster as we were without the ball, Sydney will absolutely make a meal of us, considering how good they were without the ball against Collingwood on Friday night or Thursday night, whenever it was. They were incredible without the ball. Their commitment to the pressure and defensive side of the game without the ball is what they did to Collingwood, what Collingwood did to everyone else all of last year. They were incredible in that regard. I still have questions over their forward line, and I'm not convinced that their forward line without a key forward. I don't think, is it McDonald? Is going to, and Amati is a forward line that, yeah. He's a premiership forward line, but I think, again, that shows that you don't even need a genuine forward line, just like Collingwood don't have a genuine full forward. It's just your defensive work without the ball, and of course, a lot of other bits and pieces. But if we do what we did on Saturday up in Sydney, we're going to lose, let's be honest, but we'll lose by a lot.
So, anything else on the game before we move on? Another segment I'm going to bring back, because we used to do this in the early days. We used to go just around the grounds. Anything of note from the other games that anyone wants to mention? I'll start. Disappointing that Carlton won again, another close game. Anyone got anything else that caught their eye? Seriously, nothing?
Geelong played in a new stadium with our taxpayer money. It's an absolute disgrace.
Fuck yeah.
So listen, I thought you'd be just hitting us with jokes about how Joel Selwood, of all things, has a stand named after him.
Of course he should. He's a champion. You'd all cut off your leg to have a Joel Selwood in your team. Well, absolutely. Yeah. They should build him two stands.
No. The sort of half gag that I didn't pull off being that he spent so much time not standing, but ducking and blowing.
Ah, bullshit.
I did say he should have had a diving board named after him. Two things can be true at the same time. Champion, great player, dived.
No.
There was a period of years.
He ducked and dove.
There was a period of
like
years.
Ginnivan, he's not like Ginnivan who made it an art.
He created Ginnivan.
Yeah, that's right. There's another reason to blame him.
No, I will not. I will not rest that on Joel's head. No.
But back to the point about what a disgrace it is. It's taxpayers' money. It's almost like Collingwood's multi-purpose netball and football stadium and facility that ended up just being for football. As soon as it was built, they jettisoned the netball team. Coincidence? I don't think so.
Oh, that's a bit cynical solution.
It's not on brand at all.
So you got nothing on the other games?
No, nothing particularly caught my eye, really. It's all pretty standard stuff.
All right. Well, as we speak, Freo was smacking the Lions, by the way.
Really?
That's enjoyable.
Yeah, very interesting. We could have a little Judas watch. Let's see what the stats say.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how the OG Judas is going.
While you look at that, sorry, there you go.
Well, I was saying the same thing while you're looking that up. That I thought Mass had a good game for the Hawks. It was good to see him out there playing well. He's not a Judas, and I will die on that hill. But
did you listen to the forecast, Jez?
I did.
And did you hear that he acts absolutely clearly is a Judas, but he's on the lower end of. He's not an offensive Judas.
Yeah, we've already ruled.
But by definition of what a Judas is, he fits the definition, but he's not an offensive. He hasn't hurt anybody on the way out.
But by definition,
he absolutely is a Judas. He has the J next to his name. Yeah. I don't make the rules.
His eligibility. No, he's
I don't
eligible.
Make the rules. That's right.
He was offered a contract, declined it to go to another club.
Correct. That is the definition of a Judas.
Eligible Judas. By the way, the other Judas might be playing all right, so let's not worry about it.
Okay. Moving on.
The other thing that's unfortunate to come out of the game and Redmond's game, although he probably might deserve a week off after his performance alone, but they've come out to say he's actually suspended for 1 week for a bit of a slap on the chin, which is...
We disagreed at the time, Winstock 2000. I was next to you. I thought it was stupid. And then you said it was open hand.
Looked open hand to me.
It might have been, but I just think it was dumb. Like, why do it?
Yeah, of course. But they're football players. What do you expect?
True.
It's a bit harsh to cop a week for that, but it was utterly stupid. It was it 40 metres off the ball? But, you know, the play had stopped. It was just sucked in, totally sucked in.
When Sicily gets the same for drop punting Andy McGrath, I've never seen that before. I've never seen that move.
I thought I was at the wrestling. Yeah. He lost his sweet mind in that moment. What has to click in your brain for you to go and make your body horizontal? And then ram into a player. Like, it was ridiculous. But let's not suspend players for both those things, please.
Well, I want to make this all about me for 1 second. And Solution, you're old enough to have appreciated the motorcade before the game.
You know, the amazing. Yeah.
So I would like to ask some of those players what they thought about those two incidents and each person getting 1 week for those incidents, because I reckon half those players in those motorcades, they would have loved what Sicily did, for starters. and they would be disappointed that he got a week for it. They would think Redmond was an idiot. They would think if you're going to 40 metres beyond the play, have a go at someone, you clench your fist and you put him, you knock him out. But yeah, I mean, I just loved seeing those old guys, and I know Essendon's never support a base. I'm at the older end of it, and lots of people weren't even born when these guys won their flags. I get that, and they don't. They're just names, or they might not have even known any of them before Saturday. But for people my vintage, those guys going around in the car, it was emotional almost for me. I mean, they are my heroes, and I loved being there to see it.
Yeah, because they were. I mean, firstly, we'd been in a drought similar to the one we're in now. So it had been decades since we'd featured in sort of a flag. And I guess when you're a kid, you sort of build them up to be these superheroes. It's probably what kids do now with the players of today. But to me, they felt more like Billy Duckworth, Merv Neagle, Tim Watson, Vanderhaar, Danaher, Simon Madden. It was just that they were massive personalities, not just great players. And yeah, there was something special about it. Did you see Dermot's interview of Billy Duckworth?
No, I saw Dermot chasing, walking around with him and chasing Billy's car at one point. And I saw Derm jump into the team photo, which I loved that. Because anyone who the thing about the Essendon Hawthorn from the 80s is that it wasn't just it was like 3 or 4 years worth of just clearly being the two best teams and killing each other every time they played. It was a year's worth
and belting each other.
Yeah, and Derm was front and center in the middle of it. He's as much a part of the Essendon story in the 80s as our player. So I loved seeing him there and having a laugh and all the players having a laugh with him. That was great.
And I'm not a massive Dermot fan, but I've never liked him as much as when I hear him talk about that era.
Mm.
And he talks about the players he played against. And he's spoken about Billy Duckworth a few times and speaks often about just what a great footballer he was, aside from anything else. But yes, that was fantastic.
If the correspondent was here, he could have chipped into this conversation. Where's he tonight?
Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows? I said to him, you want to watch the footy at the pub next week? And he's going to be at the Grand Prix. And then he's in some hospice. And then he's going out drinking afterwards. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know is the answer.
I've been on the receiving end of some windsock HR pink slips in my time. is it about do you need to go and have a chat to management about this recidivist non-attendee?
It's getting close. It's definitely getting close.
I think he's just busy looking for his mind. Because after the first quarter in the group chat, he wrote, and I quote, season's over. So I think he's just out busy looking for his damn mind. That's
so
all.
I don't know if any of you guys prepared a douche or deity of the week.
No.
But I think that's the douche of the week right there. We give it to him? Season over?
Yeah. I mean, what's to say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So next week we play Sydney.
Oh, God help us.
Yeah, they look so good.
No, just going up there.
Just going up there is bad enough anyway. It's hardly a happy hunting ground.
I'm just not looking forward to getting reamed by the umpires. Because I'm pre-feeling the frustration, and it's just not a pleasant feeling because I just know it's not going to be fair and we're not going to get a fair go.
Do you think they'll need the umpires though?
No, but I'd like to think we get a fair go. That's too much to ask.
Hey, it's the marquee game of the day. Or of the round, because it's second versus sixth. Nothing. What do we think? Question. Potential changes. Anyone got any? I don't know what happened with the VFL. I know. I think it, as usual, they played. Didn't they play it at the same time as
No, it was afterwards.
Just after the game.
You know, that made it impossible for people to attend both. Of course.
Yeah, apparently, Shield did well. Apparently, Draper did well. Apparently, Hobbs did well.
I think it was Hobbs potentially best on. Yep. What I kind of heard. And yep. They rested them all in the third quarter or something like that. And then they got absolutely demolished.
No, they didn't. I think they only lost by 30 points. 30 points?
I think Hawthorne kicked 10 goals in the last quarter.
I think it blew out. It blew out late.
Did it? Or maybe I didn't see an updated score. Okay.
Is there an obvious in for Reid? I don't know who played or didn't play or who's fit.
Wouldn't you just back Cox in back there and bring Sardis in on the wing as a starter? Because he was brilliant. He had a brilliant half. I know we didn't mention him, but I didn't appreciate it at the ground, I must admit. I only noticed it on replay. He was everything he touched. I don't know his efficiency, but everything he touched was something very good. I'd love to see him. Yeah, love to see him. Personally, I'd back in Cox to fill the Reid spot, given that Sydney don't have an overly tall forward line, and I'd bring Sardis in.
Yeah, good call.
And then I'd just maybe bring Hind in as the sub.
It's also one of those grounds. You're going to
replace Redmond as well.
They'll appeal and he'll get off, I reckon.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I wouldn't bother. He was shit.
I wouldn't bother either.
Not worth the money.
I agree, but I think they will.
Yeah.
Both clubs will appeal that. You can't not.
I must admit, he hasn't recaptured the form just prior to having signed his contract, if we're totally honest. I think it's one of those grounds where you can sort of get away with maybe not having a second big key defender. The contested footy seems to get sucked into one place. But I can see, maybe because we've got those guys injured and we maybe are a little bit short, Draper coming in and we're going with the two ruck solution.
Can't carry Jones, Draper, Goldie and 2 metre. If Draper's in, no probs, I'm comfortable, but you got to drop Jones.
Yeah.
That's way too top heavy.
Yeah, I don't think Draper's... That doesn't feel right to me. I mean, I think Hobbs, if he was best on or played well, I'd get him in the heat of Sydney midfield.
But actually, Parrish might be ready. They did say 1 to 2 weeks, okay. So...
We are going to lose. I mean, my top four plan still has this in as a loss.
I really want to see this manifesto, man.
So do I. Can you send us a copy, please?
I'd love to know what creative mathematics and just fiction has gone into creating this top four scenario.
So you I'm reading from that comment that you wouldn't bother rushing Parrish in for it?
I mean, you put your best team out every week, but I just think Sydney's just started like a bloody house on fire and timing's just not right for us. Do we do our prediction?
Let's do it.
We're going to get done, but it's not going to be done by a heap. We'll get done by 21 points.
Yeah, I'm going to say 19.
19?
Yeah.
You're going to go 17 and continue the sequence? Winsock 2000?
No, I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to be like, let's go like 26.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, Sydney against Collingwood was a thrashing by Sydney standards because they don't tend to blow out teams. They don't tend to score a lot. And they won by 33 points.
Collingwood was very, very, very under their best, though. I think a bit has to be read into that. They were very uncharacteristically. Call it a premiership hangover. I don't really subscribe to that kind of word, but. They were very under their best. So, yes, Sydney were good, but People are saying it's already locked in a GWS Sydney Grand Final. That's rubbish.
No. Yeah. I hope that never happens.
Preface that Collingwood were very bad.
Yeah, I'm going to say 41 points.
Whoa.
Yep.
That would be disappointing.
Yeah.
But not altogether surprising.
No. I'd love to be surprised, but we shall see. Yeah, so that's basically it for round one. As I said, we're 6 on the ladder. We'll stop the season now.
I just saw somebody tweet. When is the last time that the two grand finalists started the season 0-2? Because that's what it's both Brisbane and Collingwood. If Fremantle can hang on for one more quarter, they're both going to have 0-2, bottom of the ladder.
I reckon that many a time have the loser of the grand final fallen off. But yeah, both teams. I wonder if it's ever happened.
Interesting.
I'm here.
I think
for
it's an interesting year for Brisbane. I reckon they're not. I was saying this to a mate who's a big Brisbane supporter before the year. I reckon they're not that good. Their coaching's not that good, and they could really fall off this year. They just don't do anything in games. Like, they win off pure talent, kind of like GWS used to, and they just fall off because they just don't make any kind of strategic moves.
I just think
that'd be an interesting year for them.
I just think that personally other teams are going to catch up. They're static. I think they're going to absolutely just stagnate, and other teams are going to come up to their level and even surpass them. I don't see them making improvements year on year to their system. So I just think they're going to get overrun. But, you know, it's early, the very long season, let's be fair. We were fifth at round 13 or 15 last year. Fifth.
That's true.
That's
what?
Outrageous.
Were we really?
Yes.
God. Oh, well. Well, anything else before we go? Well, Jez, do you want to just get onto that thing you've been looking at or whatever you've been doing, betting on greyhounds or whatever it is, while pretending to...
I've got to do the ironing.
The ironing?
Mm.
Okay.
But when you're here, you need to be here 100%. It's in your contract. Go reread the fine print.
Can't believe I'm having someone recite the contract to me when the correspondent is somewhere.
I told you, he's looking for his mind. That isn't takes that like a while.
Yeah, isn't that like the worst case of deflection I've ever seen, by the way?
I know. That was not skillful at all.
Anyway, so I didn't have time to record a song of the week this week. So I'm just going to wheel out. I caved Brad Sewell's face in again, which is still one of my favourite songs. By the way, I didn't write that, I should say. DJ, the OG podcast member, wrote the lyrics to that, just to show you what a twisted man he is.
Are you just trying to deflect blame?
No, it's actually true. It's actually true. But
I don't believe you how after you went below the belt early in this podcast.
What did I say? About what?
When you're attacking someone's looks and not their football ability.
Fucking hell, man. Redmond.
We've transported.
Honestly, if Redmond and Cox.
No,
I've got to say this.
No, don't say
this. It's the end of the podcast.
Goodbye, guys. Have a good week.
Wait. All I was going to say, it's not me. All I was going to say is, this isn't mean, but if they were walking along Victoria Street asking for money, I'd give it to them. They do look like a couple of ice addicts with those short haircuts. I'm just sorry. Yeah. Particularly Cox, he's so skinny too. He's got to get back that Beavis and Butthead sort of haircut he used to have, I think. Yeah. But anyway, as I said, I'm an ugly guy, so I can comment. All right. Well, on that note, something about cake. Check it out.
No cake for you, ever.
Unfortunately associated with this podcast.
Exactly. Now I'm retrieving my sponsorship. I don't want to be associated with a below the belt podcast.
Well, the money's spent. So if you want to get a Redmond cake with Redmond's big face.
That's what you're getting for your birthday. I'm going to get it printed. I'm going to get it printed and I'm going to write on there, I love you, solution.
I won't sleep at night. But yeah, check out something about cake. Thanks to everyone that listened last week, because some good responses last week, and a lot of people said they were glad to hear we're back again. Most people didn't comment at all, so I can only assume they're not happy we're back again. But anyway, it is what it is. So thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the forecast Friday or Saturday whenever we release it, but that'll be back. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Welcome Bombers to my show. I'm Lloydy, I make that prick lie low. Sorcel's head down, I had a crack. Like a train coming, I put him on his back. In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I kept Bradsell's face in. Caught his shoulder, caught his head, caught him flush, I thought that prick was dead. Hawks were howling, made no sense. All my bombers rushed to my defense. In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I gave Bradsell's face in. Still got some medical advice. Had to spend 3 months with jaw in ice. I saw his head down, I had a crack. Like a train coming, I put him on his back. In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I kept Bradsell's face in. Convulsed like he was an OD ring. I gave Bradsell's face in. He must have thought he was dying. I gave Bradsell's face in. Campbell thought I was sniping. I gave Bradsell's face in.